see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman Podcast.
Zero. Zero. 11. Zero. 28. Zero. What's Jen doing? I feel like I should have said hike, right? But that's not, I'm not doing sports. Zero. 11. Zero. 28. Zero. Is that a lottery ticket number? Is that bingo? No. Hi, Weichel. Hi, Weichel. Welcome to the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast, or I think it's called I Seem Fun, colon or semicolon. Technically, it should be a semi slash colon because it's a preventative verb. I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast. Those numbers I just said are ticket counts. That's right, ticket counts for my show that I'm doing by the time you hear this tomorrow night. In Indiana, at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington. Zero tickets have been sold for Thursday night as of the numbers I got last week. Flying to Indiana, getting up at 4:30 a.m. on Thursday. Flying to Dallas, having a layover. Flying to Indiana, driving 45 minutes to the part of Indiana that I'm staying in and performing in. Staying there for 3 nights, performing 5 shows. Getting up at 4:30 a.m. on Sunday, coming back. Man, I have nothing to look forward to except all the free time I will have to finish an enormous writing project I have that is due sooner than I can finish it without some sleepless nights and days where I don't go out in the sunshine. That's fine. That's how this biz is. What is with these ticket counts? Now listen to me. Before you get on your high horse. I don't even think they have, they know it's 2013 yet in Indiana. Some people, my fans, make fun of some of the places I go, yet other people say, oh, please come to the South. We're not that bad. I know you're not the South. I have performed in Atlanta, Nashville, Florida multiple times. I enjoy the South. I enjoy Texas. I've performed in Texas, I think 10 times around the Dallas, Houston, Austin areas. You know what some of my least favorite crowds are? Cities where you think people would be more hip. But then cities like Seattle and Brooklyn destroy that myth. They're hip. And they act like Harry Styles is coming out on stage when I come out there. Screaming, loving it. There is no, unless we're talking about voting patterns, there is no pattern to who lives where and what they come out to see. This is not Indiana's problem. And by the way, my stand-up is not something that wouldn't be appropriate for a flyover state, as some people call them, or the South. I just talk about men and women or what happened to me that day. I'm not Lenny Bruce up there. Oh, so don't be like that, you guys. Don't be like, well, fuck Indiana. Come to here. My tour dates are my tour dates. I get so little time off work. I get to go to 12 places a year unless I include a random Saturday here and there. That is up to my agent and the club. Sometimes I will say I want to go to a certain club and they will say, we do not have availability the dates you're available. It's like making a dentist appointment. Imagine if you were sitting at home and someone called you and said, go to the dentist Thursday at 9. And you're like, I want to, but I can't. That's sometimes how it feels when people tell me to come places. Now, I do write down everywhere people suggest I go. A lot of times I have been to those places, but you guys didn't know me yet. No big deal. But I keep track. I know my demographic. That's why I came to Bloomington, Indiana, because all my friends have performed there. Your Todd Glasses, your Dana Goulds, your Brendan Walsh's, Eddie Pepitone's there this weekend. Maria Bamford's been there. I think Kindler, Marin, all my people. So I said, of course I'll go there. And everyone in Indiana, when are you coming to the Comedy Attic? Now, 0-11-0-28-0. Hike. Football to my face. Oh, my nose. But here's the thing. Don't despair. Don't be like my mother. Jennifer, they don't get you. You're an intellectual. You are like Lenny Bruce. That's what my mom used to say to me. And God bless, who doesn't want, I know you don't understand the friends I have. People in their mid-40s still wanting their parents' approval. Now, maybe I would want it if I didn't have it. Maybe I'm just too privileged with that rich to know. But I remember when my parents didn't approve so much of my stand-up, and I didn't care. I didn't care. Can I use the Oldsmobile or not to drive to it? Yes, then great. Bye-bye. But I have friends in their 40s. My parents didn't like my set on Letterman last night. Who cares? You're a grown-up. Yeah, but my parents want me to have kids. Who cares? You're a grown-up. They made a person who has free will. They didn't make a robot that they could program. And if they thought they could, then your parents are wrong, not you, friends of mine. Now listen. When my parents started supporting me doing comedy, they would come see me perform in Boston. And if I ever had a mediocre set, my mother, the things they were laughing at with the other comics, I wanted to say, you know, that's real base humor. But you were up there telling stories, telling the truth. It's like Lenny Bruce. And only an intellectual can understand that. And they don't understand you because you're an intellectual. That's a nice thing for a parent to say. Not, why'd you bomb? Why don't you, you know, make sound effects like a duck call? Now, my mother was off. I was not an intellectual. I was not like Lenny Bruce. I just had a bad set. And I was brand new to comedy. But guys, don't be like my mom in my early days of comedy and blame Indiana and act like I'm better than them and that's why they're not coming. If I am to believe my agents who told me, one, don't check yourself into a hospital. Oh, really? I would love to lay down. No. These ticket sales are normal. This sounds like a lot of bullshit to me. Sounds like when I still hadn't had my first period at 15, everyone said it was normal. But everyone I know had their periods. I'm a late bloomer, you guys. People who like me find out about me in my 16th year of comedy, which is what we're in right now, by the way. I saw someone wrote on the internet, her podcast is mainly about how she hates that men are funnier than women. That's not a thing. And he said, she is very new to comedy. Let's give her some time. My God, if you give me any more time, I'll be in the ground from natural causes due to age. I have been doing comedy 16 years, which sadly is toddler years in comedy. I'm just about to bust out and walk on my own. It's a great, exciting year when I will look back on it in 5 years. Right now, it's that year where I'm like, I'm funny, but nobody knows. Not enough people know. You know, I'm not my friends that got famous. I'm not Jeselnik, Birbiglia, Schumer, Cummings. I'm not them. I'm sure they got their own problems. I could tell you their problems. I know them well. One problem they don't have, one of their 99 problems, but an unsold comedy club ain't one, right? It just happens. There's a tipping point for some people. Some people work steadily. I might not have my tipping point, but I'd love to tip. I mean, am I asking too much? I'd love to, you know, I don't want to work the secret for personal gain rather than world peace, but let's tip. Oh, she slam dunked. She went from 0 to 10. The crowd goes wild. Ah, well, no, that's sort of wild. Clap, clap, clap. There's 10 people in the audience Thursday night. Now, I don't know why this is happening. Every other city I've gone to that's been a proper comedy club, and Bloomington, Indiana is a proper comedy club, I have had advance sales of every show is sold by half already in advance. The rest is walk up, usually making it a sold out show, a full show, or a three quarters full show, which is great for someone of my non-famous but sort of mini cult known of ish status, right? I went to London, Toronto, Montreal. People came out. They knew who I was. Indiana, not sure. My good friend Eddie Pepitone is in Indiana right now. By the time you hear this, he is back. So if you're in Indiana right now listening, do not go try to find Eddie on the streets. He's probably back in LA. But he called me and said, Kirky, I can't even believe you get your numbers in advance. That would flip me out, man. I've had good turnouts. Maybe you will. Maybe I will. But I'm going to do something that I have never done. I'm going to try to have a sense of humor off stage. I'm going to try to have a sense of humor about these low ticket sales, and I'm going to make it a thing. I'm not like my other comedian friends, and I won't name names because I don't have anyone in mind, but I know other people like to create this air of success attracts success. Thanks for the sold out show, Miami. Ah, you know, I don't want, listen, if there are only a few tickets left, I will put that on Twitter. I will not lie if there's no tickets sold, because I sometimes think that could jar people into going, what is happening? This girl's going to lose her mind if she's in Bloomington, Indiana, with terrible ticket sales, sitting in her hotel room writing by day, performing by night. For who? Because then the other clubs talk and they're like, yeah, she didn't sell well here. Oh my God, this could take down my whole life. I'm just kidding. This has happened to everyone. Every comedian has this one weird gig that they could never explain where just nobody came or very few people came. Now, I don't know what Donald Trump, Mark Cuban, my agents, my promoters, my managers, my club stage managers would say. They might say, Jen, don't say that on the air of a podcast. Don't advertise how little you've sold. It will make other people not want to go because they think they'll be sitting there alone. Don't think that way. If you haven't bought a ticket yet, think this way. Get 5 friends to come and assume that other people are doing it too. You know what's going to happen? It's going to be the biggest night in Bloomington, Indiana comedy history. And it's all going to start with the girl that was honest. She went on a podcast and said, ain't nobody coming up in here. And then everybody came. Make this like a Christmas story for me, where I'm like some kind of, what are those Christmas stories about? I'm the island of misfit toys. Come get me. But actually, don't come get me. Come sit with me and watch. Then you can leave. Or like a baby Jesus was born and no one came to visit. Where's everyone? They're late. Oh, here they are. That whatever that last one was is one of the greatest Christmas stories of all time. Do you remember that one? When Jesus, baby Jesus, was in the crib and he was like, everyone's late, because he could talk because he's Jesus. And then he's like, oh, wait, there they are. It was like a 30-second Christmas special. It's a classic. Anyway, so I'll be in Bloomington, Indiana, October 10th through 12th at the Comedy Attic. Tickets available on jenkirkman.com. Go to tour dates. You'll click directly on the link that'll bring you to tickets. And of course, it seems like plenty of tickets available at the door. Am I right? Too many. Okay. I'm going to have a sense of humor about it. If you guys know the guys from the Bob and Tom Show, I'm trying to get on their show this week. I think they might be on vacation. I don't know. But send them a tweet. I've been tweeting them all week. Okay. Boy, oh boy. I have nothing really to talk about this week. I overheard something, and my pal Greg Fitzsimmons, his podcast, Fitzdog Radio, they do overheards. So I'm not trying to bite that, as they say, but what I am trying to do is tell you, this is like an oversaw. This is like an over, I sat down and hunkered down at the coffee and cream area at Starbucks and watched a play take place. So there's a Starbucks I go to in the morning. Don't go to Starbucks. It's bad. Trust me. I try to go to the mom and pop coffee shop around the corner from my house. It's so busy. I'd have to wait half hour for coffee and then you can't park. And if I drove there, if I walked, it would take 40 minutes. So, you know, so I go to the Starbucks near my house. The area where everyone's waiting for their, you know, fancier non-drip coffee drinks is spread out, right? Everyone's just spread out. There's a guy probably in his late 20s at the counter. If this guy wrote the book Into the Wild wasn't dead, I would think it was this guy. It was like that kind of like backpack on, but probably an expensive backpack, but it had a pocket for everything. He's got his water. He's got things clipped, power bars, flashlights. He's ready to go into, I don't know where he was going. I don't know what, you know, lurks in a strip mall that I don't see that he is prepared for, but you know, I'd like to be walking behind him when Armageddon happens. But only then, when real life is going on and it's not Armageddon, get away from me, you weirdo. So he's at the counter. And as a lot of men do, they don't tell their dick what time it is, right? Their dick is just telling them, talk to women, talk to women, talk to women, talk to women, talk to women. I honestly think at this point, a man's penis talks to him the way a schizophrenic voice talks to you in your head, where it's just like, you got to give people with bipolar schizophrenia credit for the shit they don't listen to in the voices, right? You look at someone like Amanda Bynes, who is, she's now, you know, like fully diagnosed with schizophrenia, bipolar. Thank God that she's getting help. But think of all the stuff she was doing before her parents could wrangle her, before they had like a real reason to 5150 her. I mean, she's tweeting, everyone's ugly. She's shaving her head. She's wearing wigs. She's throwing bongs out the window. You know, all that stuff is what, this is what I read, that she had created a second Twitter account that kind of explained what the voices in her head were telling her to do. So she would write what the voices were telling her to do. And we'd only hear about, you know, every other thing she would actually do. That's how I picture a man's dick. Talk to women, talk to her, talk to her, talk to her, make her uncomfortable, see what she's doing. Who cares? You know, and unlike someone with schizophrenia, bipolar, you can't get medicated for that, but you can just get a little more of life experience. Learn how to read some signals. That's what it's about. Learn how to read some signals, right? I'm going to tell guys this. When you're hitting on a woman, if it's not a mutually agreed upon place, like a bar, where even if a woman doesn't go there to get hit on, she can't be like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening here. You know, two girls alone at a bar. We came to talk about Denise's, she got fired. Denise just got fired. Can you please like go away? We're talking. Yeah, where are you from? Okay, no, literally like she's like, we're having a serious conversation. You know, you got to read signals, right? But Shelley and Denise can't get so angry that someone tried, you know? Got to keep the world spinning. People got to hit on each other. Okay, so he does, you know, he's wrong. He picked up the wrong vibe. Denise and Cheryl aren't desperate, or maybe they are, but tonight's not the night. Denise got fired. They've got to talk it out. Can we get another Chardonnay? Do you want to just fuck it and get a bottle? Because it's the same. Yeah, we'll get a bottle. Did you drive? Yeah, I drove too. Maybe we'll just park our car on the street. Or you know what we'll do? After the wine, we'll get a coffee. So it'll be fine. Okay. Okay, so sometimes you hit on people in the bar. To those guys, I say, hey, you tried. At least it was dark out. Women were dressed up. There was alcohol involved. You're in the right arena. If it's 8 in the morning and a lady's getting a coffee at a Starbucks, she's going somewhere to work, to babysit, to class. She's getting something for her boss. Women are always, as most people are, in the morning, have something else on their mind besides what they're doing. Which is why everyone at Starbucks, you always see them leave, come running back in. I forgot my keys. You know, everyone's just like, everyone's been awake 30 minutes. Cobwebs are still there. Just let's not hit on anyone in the morning. I mean, honest to God. So this guy with the backpack turns to this girl. He's probably 10 years older than her. She's really shy in that college girl way that she's just uncomfortable and unlike me, wasn't listening to Bikini Kill in college. So if a man talked to her, she wasn't like, get away from me. You know, she was just sitting there being polite, which you don't have to do if someone's bothering you. You don't have to be rude, but it's not rude to say, I'm so sorry. I just don't want to talk right now. That's not rude. He's talking. And then that's your talking. So he goes, meanwhile, with his huge backpack, he's taking up the entire space of the cream coffee area at Starbucks. So she's like hunched over on the side, like just hoping for a moment where she can stick her hand in. And usually when that's happening, if you're too afraid to say anything, you might end up kind of staring at the person, hoping they pick up on the vibe of, can you move over a little? And again, she's just a little young college girl. She hasn't learned to go, boom, you know, move this hippie out of the way. I got to go put money in the economy. See you the fuck later. So she's just kind of sitting there and he takes the opportunity to look back at her, make eye contact, not move and go, hey, how you doing? She goes, oh, you know, and she's thinking like eye contact backfired. She's like, good. Can I? And she's trying to reach. And he's like, you getting your coffee for the morning? Of course, he's putting his into a silver canteen. He's pouring his big cup into a canteen. That's what's taking so long, as he's trying not to spill. She's like, yeah, I just need the cream. And now she's doing that like I'm out of breath to signal that I'm in a hurry and don't even have time to get these words out. And he's like, oh, yeah, what do you need coffee for this morning? She's like, I don't know. And I want to say to her, well, what he's trying to ask is, what do you do? But here's my thing to guys hitting on women. When you just can't stop listening to your dick, that's like, hit on her, talk to her, talk to her. If you have asked a woman 3 questions, how about even 1 question? Oh, let's say 2. You ask a woman 2 questions and she hasn't asked you one back, she's not interested. Unless she's rubbing your arm and is getting like so mesmerized by her eyes, and that's why she can't ask a question. But if a woman isn't asking questions back, not interested. She just hasn't learned yet how to get out of conversations. So just move along, right? Hit the trail. Derek, I just named him. It's Derek, the backpacker. So he goes, he goes, you in college or something? She goes, yeah. Yeah, I have class like right now, basically. And he goes, He's like, so do you use a cell phone a lot? She's like, what? Like in school? Like, I think he's trying to ask for her number. And she's like, not really. And he's like, good for you. at least you're not tied to your phone like everyone in society is. So now it's this weird thing where I think he was trying to ask for her number. She was wondering, what does that mean? Do I use my cell phone? And then he's just like, yeah, good. He's like, so do you come here every day? Meanwhile, I see you again tomorrow. She's like, it depends on the time. Meanwhile, she's like plotting other, she's like going, wishing there was an app in her head for like other Starbucks in the area that she can think of immediately. And he's like, I know there is an app for that, but it's not in our heads. You jerks. So he's like, oh, okay. He's like, well, I might be here tomorrow too, same time. He's like, so do you have that like student loan thing hanging over your head? And she's like, I mean, probably, yeah, I will. And he goes, yeah, that's why I didn't do it. She goes, okay. Now her back is fully turned. She's walking away. He's like, yeah, I didn't do it. I don't mean I didn't go to college. No, he goes, I don't mean I didn't get a loan. I mean, I didn't go to college because I won't do anything. I won't be beholden to anything. No loans for me. That's why I won't have a car, a house, or go to college. I'm not going to be in any debt. And she's like, okay, great. And then she walks away. And he's like, see you tomorrow. I didn't catch your name. And then she keeps going. And I'm like, you're not going to have a girlfriend then. Add that to the list of things you won't have. I'm dating this great guy. He picked me up on foot. We walked 15 miles to his. I wouldn't say it's a house. It's not even an apartment he rents because he doesn't like the idea of signing a lease. So it's more like a sheet that's over a couple of lawn chairs. But it's really cool because he's not beholden to anything, not even safety. And no, he does go to Starbucks every morning. That's his one like thing, you know, he doesn't make his own coffee, on a kettle over some rocks, but he's just amazing. I mean, I'm learning so much about life and about different pockets you can put things in. I mean, and who has that much like of themselves to give at 8 a.m? Can you ever imagine yourself right now, if you're listening to this in the morning, driving to work or in bed, thinking of tomorrow morning, would you ever get up and say that much information to a stranger at Starbucks, even if you were hitting on them? I'm acting like that's how everybody hits on everybody. Like, how about, hey, you know what? I've never seen you here before. What's your name? Oh, hi. Hi, Rebecca. I'm Derek. I know this seems so weird, but I'm totally not a psycho. But if you want to meet here for coffee sometime and actually sit down, I'd love to get to know you. I'm a web designer and I live in the area. And I'll just give you my email address. And if you're interested, send me an email. How's that? I mean, can we do that? Can we do that? Still weird at 8 a.m. But does that sound a lot less weird than announcing your stance on government loans to someone? I mean, I guess now that's out of the way on the first date. Okay, so do you like salmon? I know you don't like loans or anything that puts you into debt and you're not beholden to anything, but do you like salmon? But I just wondered if this guy is truly off the grid or he was like a trust fund kid that was just like, I'm not beholden to anything because I'm lucky enough to know, you know, to still get what I want without having to be. But who knows? Maybe he's a real off the grid kind of guy going to Starbucks in a strip mall. Fuck you, the man. Or fuck you, some of the man. I'm going to see some of the other man here. But it reminded me of, and I've talked about these people on other podcasts I've done in the past, but I'm going to assume you people are coming to me fresh. She's fresh, exciting. She's so inviting to me. Bum, 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 bum. Is that the Commodores? That's Cool and the Gang, isn't it? Na, na, na. We'll find out. Johnny, look that up. That's my fake intern. So when I lived in West Hollywood, I lived in this apartment, and my backyard was not really a yard. It was a shared, it was a fourplex building. It had a shared back patio. But then there was a fence, and you opened the door to the fence, and you were in the four-car driveway. Across from that driveway was the back of a restaurant, and there were parking spaces for the employees. So these two homeless people, they were young. They were probably in their early 30s, a man and a woman. They looked like, the woman had kind of like a spiky mohawk, but not punk rock. More like biker chick-y. And he was a little heavier, blondish hair, reddish beard. Kind of, if he wasn't a drug addict, might be a snowboarder. So that's these people. And they, I never knew their names. And they lived in my backyard. And one night, my doorbell rang, and it was the woman. And this is before I had known there were people living in the backyard. And she was like, oh, hi, I'm sorry, I live in the backyard, and I just need a blanket. And so it was just this weird request. But I did have a ton of extra blankets. So I left the door open and then went to my closet to get a blanket and then felt weird. Like, I don't know this person. She's obviously kind of cracked up, like on crack. But I guess, well, what would Jesus do? Like, he would be like, come on in and live with me, you know? So I'll be like a half Jesus. I'll be like, please don't move in. Please don't come in. But I can't walk back, shut the door in your face, then go get the blanket, reopen it. Now, why can't I? Because I'm an idiot. Of course I could have done that. But I wasn't at that point in my life yet where I thought it was important, while helping the homeless, to not protect myself against a crack and alley invader. So, but she didn't come in. I got the blanket. I gave it to her. She's like, thanks, and ran off. Never returned it. Never said, oh, I got this dry cleaned. But even like a crack addict can have manners, and they're wrong. They're like, here's the blanket back. And you're like, oh, I don't want that. That was a for keepsie. But I was wondering if she was going to be one of those that was like, well, we're on the level. Like, it's like totally normal. I borrowed it and slept on the street with my crack husband. So then I noticed them in the alley the next morning, and they have a tent, like a camping tent. And slowly over the weeks, things start to build. Now it's at the point where they don't just come at night after everyone from the restaurant has driven their cars home. Now they have camped out there permanently so that when the person comes to work in the morning, they have to park their car and stop it to leave room so they don't run into their, quote, house. So these two people lived in the tent. Slowly over time, things started to happen. There was a shopping cart parked outside, like Mr. and Mrs. Brady's station wagon. They had a Christmas tree on their front lawn. They decorated for Halloween. They had a welcome mat. They had a barbecue. They had a TV. I mean, they were living it up. One time, I had brought a bunch of like Us Weekly magazines home, you know, gossip magazines home from work, and had put them in the recycling bin outside. I came out of my apartment one morning, was getting into my car, and the two crackies were sitting against my car with their backs to it like they were in a beach chair. I guess they wanted to go across the street, across the alley for a little change of scenery. And they're reading out of the Us Weeklies that I had thrown out. And I don't remember who they were talking about, but they were like, that is not her body. That is Photoshopped. How did she lose all that weight after the baby? She looks great. Oh, you think everybody looks great. Just reading gossip magazines and yelling to each other about some celebrity's body. And I'm just thinking, like, I can still sympathize for these people, right? But, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm not suggesting that if you're homeless, you have to act desperate every second and not enjoy a little Us Weekly with your morning coffee. But they didn't react. It was like there wasn't a person trying to get in their car. So then I was like, oh, excuse me, I just have to just not run you over. They're like, oh, excuse, good morning. Ah, sorry, but these magazines, we don't normally read this trash. I go, oh, I don't either. It's my trash, literally, though. Ha ha, we all had a good laugh. So I drive off. I come back that night. Their lights are on. They're cooking dinner. I'm inside. Then I hear them screaming. Screaming. Like Sid and Nancy. And he's like, answer the question. Are you a cunt or a whore? I don't know what game they were playing where those are the answers, but she was like, and she runs off. Then I hear such screaming. It sounded like cats in heat and like machines grinding and just sounds I've never heard. And I'm just assuming there's some domestic violence going on. So I call the cops. There just so happens to be a cop like coming around the alley anyway. So he's whoop, whoop. He comes down the alley and I'm looking out the window. The wife is now gone. The policeman is literally like every black comic's impersonation of a white guy. He's like, hello, Bill. Like he knows the name of the homeless guy that just was screaming, are you a cunt or a whore? And may have turned into a robot with, you know, metal teeth and bit his wife. Oh, hello, Bill. He's like, well, how you doing, officer? He's like, I'm great. What are you up to tonight? We heard some disturbance. Nah, not me. He's like, my wife just went down to 7-Eleven to get some hot dogs. We're going to barbecue them up. He's like, oh, that sounds great. All right, well, keep it down. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I go outside in the alley as the policeman is slowly driving away. And I'm like, excuse me, officer, white guy. I go, I think he beat his wife and she ran off. And she's probably coming. She probably ran off to get drugs. And if you would wait here, you would see them. They're about to smoke crack in that thing. And he's like, well, there's no evidence. I go, yeah, no evidence yet. Evidence coming, telling you. And I go, how do they live in this? It was starting to annoy me because I'll tell you this. It wasn't just a sad case of, oh my God, I was a veteran. I'm homeless. I'm sure they have mental problems. Listen, I want to see everybody who isn't a violent criminal not in prison. I want health care for all. I want mental health care for all, mandatory. I want drug rehabilitation. But when it's in your backyard and you were at Starbucks earlier, and this is what happened. It's reminded me of this guy, Derek, the backpacker, talking to the college girl. I was at Starbucks the day before and my homeless friend, the guy, was there on a computer. And he's talking to someone about living off the grid. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I choose not to have a home because they can't get me. Who can't get you? Anyone can get you. A mountain lion can get you. People can get you. Listen up, people who are on and off certain grids. You can be gotten anytime. And you will be gotten by the ultimate death. So everybody calm down. Every little thing you do to protect yourself is not going to work. Eventually. In other words, lighten the fuck up. None of us knows what's going to happen. Take precautions if you want. Look, I moved from a first floor to a higher up floor. And I live in a building where there's a doorman. Because that makes me feel safer than living on the first floor in a crickety-crackety old apartment building that had a huge window that someone could throw a rock through, put their body through, and then come get me. Then again, this doorman that I think so highly of could be gagged and bound, and a crazy person comes and is like, I need to get to the top floor and get Jen Kirkman. That could happen. Security guard himself could turn out to be the weird guy. No guarantees. But don't go bragging at Starbucks that you live off the grid. It's like my friends who are like, I just decided not to, take that project. You didn't get the project. No, I decided not to take it. When you didn't get it is when you decided not to do it. I'm off the grid. You're homeless. So this guy's bullshitting everyone up a storm. Officer white guy is like, I'm going to leave now. Like, I'm starting to get in trouble by asking a cop, hey, could you please stay and do your job just real quick? Just see if someone's doing some crack. Because God forbid what's going to happen is someday you're going to pull me over because I'm too lazy to put the registration sticker on my car. And it's going to be a big scene and you're going to write me a ticket and be a tough guy. Right now, you're running down the alley like a pussy. So he drives off. Sure enough, she comes back. I see them smoking something up. Then they start fighting again. This time it's crazier than ever. The police come back. And they're still like, we can't do anything. I'm like, right, because he didn't see them smoking the crack that I told you that they were going to be smoking. So then this policeman's like, why do you know so much about them? I'm like, because I live with them practically. I'm here. I'm looking out the window. I'm trying to sleep. And I hear someone asking his wife, is she a whore or is she a cunt? And I can't tell if they're watching some fucked up, you know, Wheel of Fortune turned up too loud or if they're screaming at each other. So eventually, I think because the restaurant they were in back of had some kind of mob ties, Argentinian mob. That's right. I said it. There is one. Those people were gone in a week because I went and talked to the restaurant owner and I was like, do you know that this is going on? And he was like, I did not. So those people were gone. I'm not saying they were murdered by any means. I think they were just told, get out. I didn't like that story that much because I feel like you're being rude to the homeless people. Technically, the Argentinian mob was defunded in 1987 by Woodrow Wilson's stepson, who is a Harvard grad doing a project on humanities. But also, like, mobs can't get rid of homeless people. Well, why don't you guys start your own podcast and talk about your life experience? I just hate bullshitters. So I'm thinking too about, I had this personal trainer. Oh my God, what an extravagant lifestyle. Wait a minute, Jen. You lived in a fourplex with a shared, not even backyard, but just back brick patio. Yeah. And then you had a personal trainer. Holy shit, Jen. Try to leave something for us normal poros to imagine. I mean, what is this? The 1% hour. So anyway, I had this personal trainer. A year ago. At the gym that was right next to our offices at Chelsea Lately, which have since moved. They used to be in one part of LA. Now they are in another. So at the time, the gym was right next to where I worked. Thought it was a good bet to go there. But it wasn't near where I lived, so I knew I would never be at the gym on weekends. I needed this personal trainer 2 days a week in the morning. There was only one guy that was available at that time. I think his name was Ian or something. Let's just call him Ian. I didn't even stop to think, do I want a guy trainer? Do I want a woman? I don't know. So we'd start working out, and after a couple weeks, I'd be like, Ian, I'm eating well. But my pants aren't fitting in my thigh and ass anymore. And he's like, yeah, because you're bulking up in the ass and the thighs. It looks great. I'm like, I don't want to. I don't want to look like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. No offense to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Shout out to him, by the way. He tweeted me once on Twitter. Ooh-hoo! Saw Walking Tall. One of my favorite moments in my life. I'm in my day job at Lifetime Television in 2003. I'm broke as a joke. I just got dumped by this guy. I wrote about it in my book, but not this particular part. I wrote about it in my book, I Can Barely Take Care of Myself, Tales from a Happy Life Without Kids by Jen Kirkman. Available on Amazon.com. And go to my website, jenkirkman.com/book, and you'll find out all the indie bookstores that carry it. And then I also did an audio version, and you can go to Tantor, TANTOR.com to buy it there or on Amazon. And I read all the audio. So anyway, I really hope you do buy that book. It's only $9.99 on Kindle, and then the hardcover isn't too much. And then that way, Simon & Schuster will be very happy, and then I will get to make some money because I haven't profited off it yet. So buy it. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, so this guy dumps me, right? I feel so sad. I'm at work crying at my desk. It's like one of those dumps that just like, I can't even not cry at my desk, even though I'm a grown up. My boss goes, let's go. We're going to the movies. And we go, it was a Friday, so we took a long lunch. And we go to the movie theater in the strip mall that we work near. And we saw Walking Tall. And I was just like, I don't know what is happening here. All the therapy in the world could not do this. My heart is being healed by watching Dwayne The Rock Johnson walk around with a piece of wood kicking ass. And I think of that movie with such fondness that it brings a tear to my eye. I know I've said this somewhere, perhaps on this show. Well, there you go. Your crazy friend Jen's repeating herself again. I know you told me that story, Jen. All right, well, let me say it again. Anyway, so I have this trainer. And I go, yeah, I don't want to, but guys love that. I go, I don't really care what guys love. Like, I don't, I'm trying to lean out. You know, ladies like to lean out. That sounds like a great new song for someone like Miley Cyrus. Ladies like to lean out. Ladies like to lean out. Lean out. Lean out. Ladies like to lean out. I don't know why it turned into a Tool song. Ladies, they like to lean out. Ah, that's like if it was a 70s song. Okay. So then the trainer had me running around where I couldn't breathe. Which is fine. I guess that's what you're supposed to do. Push yourself and all that. But unlike the dentist, where they put things in your mouth and then ask you to talk, this guy understood that I couldn't talk and not breathe at the same time. So he would just monologue at me. And he'd go, hey, someone at the gym recognized you, one of the other trainers. He was pretty psyched I was training you. I was like, I don't know who the fuck she is. Just picture me running like a hamster around the room, making my thighs more manly and using a medicine ball while he's just monologuing at me. He's like, so I Googled you. He's like, man, women aren't funny. I mean, normally women aren't funny, you know, but you're funny for a woman. I like that bit you do about masturbating. He's like, it's pretty funny. He's like, it's funny. Like, I'll masturbate like in the shower. But, like, I don't know why I do that, you know? But I guess women can't do that because you're standing up and I don't know. I mean, like, girls like to have sex in the shower. He's like, I live with my girlfriend. It's like, it's like, I don't know. Man, commitment's weird, right? Because you mentioned in the videos you were divorced. He's like, yeah, commitment's weird, man. I can't commit to my girlfriend. He's like, I've never cheated, but I want to. It's been 7 years. But, you know, we have a kid together and, he's like, you really don't want kids? He's like, I think you would if you meet the right guy. Meanwhile, I'm like, everyone says that to me. But everyone who says that is some creepy guy who's talking about how he wants to cheat and hates that he has a kid. So who are these right guys? So he's like, I'm thinking of like cheating. But here's the thing. Like, my girlfriend has like an immune system kind of disorder. It's not like contagious or anything. But like, she's really sick. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I didn't like sign up for that, you know? So they're like living off my salary. He's like, I'm actually a really good actor. But it's just such bullshit here in LA, you know? Like, I can't get parts because of all the political bullshit. And whenever I hear about political bullshit, unless people are talking about actual politics bullshit, I'm like, political bullshit is always said by people who are like, I'm just not getting my way. What's the political bullshit that Bruce Willis gets all the action parts and Tom Hanks gets all the nice guy roles? That's just how it is. He's like, so I don't even audition anymore. I'm like, that sounds like a great way to make it in this business. He's like, San Francisco is where all the real people are. I'm like, go to San Francisco then. Keep it real. So he would just talk and say weird shit and go, you seeing anybody? Now, I wasn't sure if he was hitting on me, but as a lady, I've learned the best way to keep guys away. The only time a guy might respect your space is if you say you have a boyfriend. That imaginary man next to you is just like, oh, nope, sorry, girl. Sorry. Sorry to bother you. I'm being a little facetious. She hates men. So I was like, yeah, I'm seeing someone. I mean, I had, you know, some friends and stuff, but I wasn't, didn't have a boyfriend. But I, you know, so every day when in between me having an asthma attack, running around, making my thighs bigger, I would talk about this fake boyfriend I had. And every morning if I came in tired, he'd be like, hi, you get some last night? And I'm like, no. And if I did, I'm not telling you. I'm tired because you took the 7:30 a.m. spot and nobody likes to run around with a medicine ball at 7:30 a.m. making me do burpees, you know, those things. And don't use that word. Now I'm out of that scene. I do Pilates with a lady. And the way I dumped him was just, I never booked another session and then I never called again. I had gone to him twice a week for like 8 weeks. I guess there was no end to that story, but I was wondering how he was. But he would text me like, dude, is this how you handle things? And I'm kind of looking at it like, I guess it is actually, yes. Dude, all right. Did I do something? And then he would see my other friend at the gym and be like, where's Jen? So then I just stopped going to that gym altogether. But now I don't even work over there anymore, so it's fine. But I think I need to be one of those people who researches things better, you know? I'm like, who wants to train me at 7:30 in the morning? You? All right, good. Let's go. Like, that's the same way I buy a car. Other people are like, let me research. Well, what would you like to work on? And what's your name? Oh, hi, Monica. What kind of trainer would you be? I'm just like, I don't know. Just give me the thing. I'm going to try to be better about that in the, I don't know when, at some point. What song was I singing before that I couldn't think of? Well, too late now. Somebody asked me, do you have music rights to all these songs? Are you crazy? Girl, are you crazy? No, I'm just playing really expensive music on my podcast. But I think it's fine. I don't think I'm going to get in trouble. Unless suddenly George Michael listens to the last episode. All right, are we done here? I'm going to do a special listener email edition. I keep saying that. So okay. All right. All right. Okay. I'll read this. This girl. Hey, Jen, it doesn't apply so much these days, but when I was in school, especially middle school, I always looked forward to going to choir. Choir? Is that a Catholic school thing? It was always during lunch on Fridays, and most of my class thought I was weird for enjoying it so much. I never considered myself a great singer, but it seemed to be the only time I was really happy for a long time. There's definitely one thing that doesn't matter what generation you are. Fifth graders all seem to love being mean for no reason, especially to the new kid, Melissa. Love you in the podcast. Hopefully I can see you live again soon. Aw, thanks, Melissa. I know, you know, fifth graders are horrible, horrible little people. Just nasty. Not me, though. I was a good kid. I'm sure you were, too. The choir, I don't know what choir you would have unless it was religious school. I was in the church choir when I was 10. This is interesting. Well, it's not interesting, but there was this girl, Kathleen. She was my sister's age, and she led the choir. There was this thing of like, let's hip up the church. So every Sunday at a certain mass, you know, at the like 10:30 a.m. mass, it was like Kathleen and her folk guitar and all the kids. And we would sing like Jesus-y songs, but not the traditional ones like, will you go if my Lord is going? You know, whatever. I hated, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Making everyone feel guilty. I didn't crucify him. Nobody did. So anyway. But these songs were like, I love Jesus. Not like that. But I liked the singing part too. I just thought they were fun little pop songs. And my sister was like, you can be two people in this life. The kid that's in the choir on purpose or the kid that's not. And I knew exactly what she meant. I might end up being a dork. So I dropped out. And I did other dorky things, but that at least were more specific to what I wanted. Although I will tell you, I love Johnny Cash, Elvis gospel music. And I listen to the Million Dollar Quartet, which is Elvis, Cash, and Jerry Lee Lewis. And there's a lot of gospel stuff in there. And I will drive around in the beautiful sun singing, I shall not be moved. I will sing Johnny Cash. I will sing, I got shoes. All of God's children got shoes. I am the biggest weirdo. I think that's why I like punk rock too. I like repetitive things that are easy to follow. Except for running laps around in a room. All right. You guys, I got to run. I've got that Versace movie, TiVo'd. And you're not going to keep me from it any longer. Indiana, see you this weekend. Spread the word. And if you don't, I'll have some interesting stories about what it was like to perform for a wall. Okay, don't feel sad. I think you'll be famous someday. Who knows? Not for us to judge, right? We're all just happy and healthy. That's all that matters. Until next week, have fun.